So his focus was patient's interpretation of illness, and the question is, please take a seat. Are there associations with a patient's spiritual needs in Poland and specific aspects of spirituality? Coming to the background, based on the assumption of a self-regulation model, the individual being, of course, may have the chance to solve all his problems actively, and he activates efforts to modulate first his thoughts, his emotions, and also his behavior in times when he is facing illness or other threats. An important aspect for dealing with illness in terms of his coping strategies and illness interpretation are, of course, individual representations of illness. Based on numerous previous studies concerning the influence of spirituality and or religiosity, please apologize, I will use both terms as if they are identically, they are not identically. And on illness interpretation and coping, the dimension of spirituality as a third important dimension of illness representation will be addressed in this talk of Janusz Szewicz. The hypothesis were, assuming that spiritual beliefs are important factors for the coping strategy of a sick person, as well as behavioral reactions in the context of illness, Janusz Szewicz hypothesized that different qualities of spirituality, for example, search for transcendence, need for inner peace, or ethical sensitivity, or inner harmony, result in different interpretations of illness. For example, illness is something of value to grow on, or illness is a chance to develop, or a punishment, or whatsoever. And thus, different coping styles, which are the reactions of the interpretations of disease. It could be helping others, self-transcendence, which is meaning, escaping from illness, and so on. Of course, it refers to Lipovsky, a Polish-Canadian psychiatrist. He described 8 categories of meaning, and he said these categories may have influenced how a person may cope with illness. For example, the negative perception, my illness is an interruption of life, or my illness is an enemy or a threat, or illness could be a punishment or a failure, meaning this is my own weakness, my own fault, or it could be a relieving break from the demands of life. It could be a call for help, for example, it's a strategy, please help me someone, my back pain is hurting so much, and my children are not coming to me, or it could be a challenge or something of value. These are the ideas. So, first findings among patients with cancer and chronic pain diseases, for example, were measured in German patients, found that most cancer patients would interpret their illness as a challenge or something of value, a large fraction also as an interruption of life. Also, in German patients with chronic pain diseases, most would argue, no, my disease is a horrible and unbearable interruption of my life, or a threat. Positive interpretations are rare. So the research question for the Polish sample was, which interpretations of illness were prevalent in a predominantly Catholic Polish sample with chronic diseases, and which socio-demographic variables may have influence on negative and or positive interpretations, and how are these interpretations interconnected with measures of spirituality? We will use different measures, and interpretation or intention to escape from illness is more or less a depressive avoidance strategy. Or the methods, we have a cross-section anonymous survey among 275 Polish patients with chronic diseases recruited in different areas. We use standardized questionnaires, for example, interpretation of illness questionnaire, as I've shown you, the spiritual needs questionnaire, a self-description questionnaire of spirituality. This is a Polish instrument, typical and developed in Poland, so we used it. The spiritual and religiosity and coping instruments is GOIP, the multidimensional life satisfaction scale, and escape from illness scale. We had a predominance of women in the middle age. Most of them are married, some of them are divorced, and so on. The education level is more or less medium to high, and they're 100% Catholic. So it was a very interesting population because they are Catholics. Nevertheless, 70-80% would argue I'm a religious or spiritual person, and spiritual person. 7% would argue, yes, I'm a religious person, but I'm not spiritual. And all the others would argue, I'm not religious and 13% would argue, I'm not religious and I'm not spiritual and don't care for all these things. Most have cancer, 10% chronic pain diseases, and diabetes mellitus and some other diseases. So here are the first findings. Most would argue my illness is an adverse event, an interruption, or an enemy, a threat. Nevertheless, 40% would also say yes, despite of this, I can see my illness also as a challenge. All others are a little bit weaker. Look at now women and men. You'll see that for women, the interpretation of value is much higher, significantly higher as compared to men. While in most cases, men had higher negative interpretation, particularly my illness is a threat, or my illness is a challenge, and so on. All others are more or less identical. Further influencing variables are age. For example, call for help was higher in elderly. It could be the interpretation, please children or please community, care for me, might be. The family status had just a trend for a call for help for patients living alone, which makes quite sense. And spiritual religious self-categorization, interruption and punishment was significantly higher in those who argue are not religious and not spiritual. While value and positive interpretation was significantly higher in religious cases. Again, this makes sense because in all other studies we've run so far, was always the same association. Persons with a spiritual or religious background can see their illness differently as something positive and also something of value. Also the Polish patients. Now, the correlation analysis. Please look at all the yellow underlined variables. In most cases, we have moderate association. For example, value is moderately associated with religious attitudes or ethical sensitivity, with positive emotions to God or intention. I would like to search a source which is helpful for me. I will have trust in a higher source, or I'm able to reflect and so on. Escape from illness is negatively associated. Look at the negative interpretations. Let's come to it later on. First of all, there's a strong correlation between negative interpretation and this intention to escape from illness, which makes sense, and negative interpretation with life satisfaction. Negative emotions towards God are, of course, associated with threat and interruption. All others are not too important, with the exception of call for help. Calling for help means I would like to escape from my illness, and someone should care for me. And interestingly, there is also an association with praying. Praying could mean I call God that he would help me. So this was the association, and there was a negative association, again, with life satisfaction. So far, we have observed significant differences for the interpretation value, threat enemy and interruption of life, and call for help with respect to social development data. These perceptions were also strongly, or at least moderately, correlated with measures of spirituality, escape of illness, and life satisfaction. So we focused on these four disease interpretations to analyze the predictors. What are the variables which indicate that a person is at risk for these interpretations? First, interpretation, my illness is something of value. The best predictor was religious attitude, means, for example, faith allows me to survive difficult periods in my life, or when making decisions, I rely on my religious beliefs. Positive association was, I have needs to give things from my side to to teach the next generation to find meaning in my life. Negative predictor was escape from illness, which makes sense again, and interestingly, age. All others are not significantly associated in the model. Predictor, my illness is a threat or an enemy. The best predictor was, I would like to escape from my illness. I would like to wake up and I'm completely healthy again. That was a bad dream. This makes sense again. And all others are much more weaker predictors, for example, male gender or negative emotions. All others are not associated. The predictor, my disease is a horrible and unbearable interruption of my life. The best predictor was again escape from illness, and surprisingly, giving generativity needs. I would like to find meaning in my life. Please don't ask me why. And Richard's attitude surprisingly was a negative discipline. This is quite interesting because, please remember, the negative interpretations were in most cases associated, and were not associated with religious attitudes, only the positive ones. So predictors, my illness is for me a call for help. We have several predictors. The best predictor was, again, escape from illness, a negative predictor is life satisfaction, and so on. But this is interesting, physical sensitivity. It means to react when someone is being hurt, to care about other person's situation. So I think this is quite interesting, that calling for help means I need connection with others. I need communication. So this is nevertheless a call for other persons. And cancer as a disease was a positive predictor. So this, to discuss some parts. The negative disease interpretations were the predicted best by the intention to escape from illness, to wake up. This was a bad dream, but it's, nevertheless it's true. While positive interpretations as its value were predicted best by patients' religious attitudes, not only the spiritual non-religious attitudes, but clearly in a Polish sample, the strictly religious attitudes and inversely again by escape from illness. So measures of spirituality are rather associated with positive views of illness. And this is consistent with all other studies among more secular population, interestingly, also in Chinese patients. To compare these data with other findings, for example, there are several Western studies enrolling patients with cancer, and all these studies show that most regard the illness as a challenge. Data from Canada, from Great Britain, from Germany, and from Polish patients, although they had several of them do have cancer, they regarded their illness as an interruption of life. Switching to patients with chronic diseases, mainly cancer, from Shanghai, they interpreted their illness mostly as a punishment, completely different, or as a call for help, and not only a few patients as an interruption of life. So there's also a cultural dimension. This has to do with fault or guilt, because I was punished because my behavior was maybe karmic or don't know what, because most of them are secular and don't believe in any religious issues. I don't know why. So this is very interesting. So this is the idea. Don't rely on single studies like these ones, because they give a one-way picture, but the picture could be completely different if you change the situation, the cultural background, and so on. To conclude, these data at least show that specific aspects of spirituality are important predictors for patients' interpretation of illness. These attitudes may result in positive interpretation as being something of value, indicating also potentially to change for a spiritual transformation, to develop within time, to become a different view of our life and to priorities in life. While the negative interpretations, again, were mainly related, as I told you, so on. So current data indicate that these differences with respect to the expected implications of illness for life concerns are on the one hand present, but also influenced by cultural differences. These specific interpretations may be used as indicators that patients may require further psychological and or spiritual support, because some of them can simply be addressed by psychologists, but as you've seen, there is a positive religious connotation, the psychologist alone might not be the full solution for the person to cope with the burden. Here was an interesting quote from a Chinese researcher: helping patients to derive meaning from the illness experiences facilitates the post-traumatic growth. So this is the story behind all these things. Patients see the illness differently, and maybe because they regard the illness as something positive, they can behave differently and develop differently. You may call it as spiritual transformation, spiritual growth, or whatsoever. It's not close to this discussion. Okay, Janusz Suchevich is now ready with this lecture. It's free for some questions. Open for questions, sorry. He's from Poland.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing these interesting data. A small question you showed at the beginning that in fact the patients who are not religious and not spiritual would indicate their illness more as a punishment. I was wondering, how could there be a punishment by whom, what?
No, the Polish sample is predominantly religious. Most of them are religious. Only a small fraction are non-religious. You ask here for
this one. The small fraction of those who said, oh, don't care for all these things, they regard their illness as a punishment. And this is found also in German patients. When you look at these specific people, they regard, if at all, more or less some negative, but not so clear in this way. This is a strong correlation. This is not typical. It's exclusively found in Polish persons. Maybe it could be an interpretation because they have turned away from their religious tradition and have negative interpretations of God. It might be they feel something, I've fallen apart from my history, from my belief, and so on. It's open for sociological, psychological analysis. I don't know.
I would like to ask you about such idea to measure basic beliefs, because I've led a lot of research about basic beliefs, and I discovered that people generally believe in three power: higher power, and here is human power and chance power, which determine a lot of world and our lot. So what is your opinion about this to engage the basic beliefs and research, because it could be that a lot of, maybe not a lot, but some agnostics or atheists could be among these people. It could be interesting which power in their imagination determines their life.
Good question. One of the next lectures will address things like this. Here are much more scales included, which I don't show you. We have also existential non-religious persons, so we could identify them, but it's not the problem with the Polish persons. They are more or less exclusively in the field of the tradition. This question was very interesting for the Chinese persons, but it's a different story. But we are here, it was completely good, yes. I agree. Some more questions? If not, I'm happy that we are perfectly in time.
Thank you.
So now, the opportunity to present Anne-Rietje Wirth. She's from the University of Witten-Herdecke. Hey, surprisingly, it's my university. Her talk will be on faith as a resource in German patients with multiple sclerosis. She will explain why we are focused on these patients. It's yours.
Good afternoon. I'm very happy to have the possibility to share our results of my first research project in this context. And the title is Resources of Patients with Multiple Sclerosis with an Atheist Agnostic Attitude. To the background, I would like to say that 77% of diseases come from non-contagious, mostly chronic diseases. That means 3 or 4 of our patients comes with chronic diseases. There is no cure and only symptomatic, and for MS, immune modulatory therapy. And there's an often unpredictable course of exacerbations and remissions. So chronic diseases impair both quality of life and life goals. And so patients often experience social isolation, are depressed, and report lower quality of life than community comparison groups. So these patients have to find strategies and resources to deal with unpredictable occurring symptoms and insecure future. We know that spirituality or religion may be a helpful resource to cope for patients with chronic disease. In the last years, there is a huge amount of studies over this. And difficulties and psychological challenges in MS patients were ameliorated by an increased appreciation for life and spirituality. but the proportion of individuals with an atheistic attitude is increasing, and so I chose MS patients because they are relatively young, and the proportion of atheist patients is higher. And there is a limited knowledge of concrete resources of atheists, our religious person, to cope with diseases. But we also know that occasionally atheists, our religious persons, may be spiritual as well, because the just the definition of atheists is not believing in God and not being spiritual at all. So our main research questions were: which resources of hope, orientation, and inspiration in life were used by MS patients with and without a religious spiritual attitude? And are these individual resources of benefit to deal with various life concerns? So our methods. It was a prospective, anonymous, multicenter, cross-sectional study from 4 specialist hospitals, all from Germany. And the inclusion criteria were diagnosis of multiple sclerosis and age between 18 and 65, and psychic diseases were exclusion criteria. Our measures were, it was a lot, but important was the resource of hope, the individual resource. It was an open question. I will describe further exactly how we did. And the self-ascribed benefit of own spiritual resources. Then the engagement in spiritual activities with the Spruik, Arndt Bussing already told you, and spiritual religious self-categorization, the adaptive internal coping strategies, life satisfaction, mood states, the expanded disability status scale to quantify disability under MS, and MS-associated fatigue, and the self-perceived health affection, as well as social demographic and health-related variables. The resource of hope, inspiration, and orientation was an open question, and we introduced the question with: each person has its own points of view and attitudes about spirituality. Even those who are more reserved against religion in a closer sense may have something what gives meaning, orientation, hope, and inspiration to their life. Some may call it spirituality. And that what gives hope, orientation, and inspiration to my life, or that what carried me through, and these answers from the patients were afterwards categorized in 4 categorizations. And it was faith, religion, family, partner, children, other resources of meaning. And there, for example, the patients wrote something, a higher force in the atmosphere, or love, general love. So all these other sources of meaning were put together in this categorization, and no resource. The results. 214 patients were included, and the response rate was relatively high with 81%. And when we see something is going wrong, but okay, that 52% of our patients could not or did not answer to this question, so they had no resource. 22% had as their resource family, partner, or children. 16% other sources of meaning, and just 10% faith, religion. To find out more about these 52% or which difference or which influencing factors could be for not being able to write a resource, we compared social, demographical, health-related variables, as well as personal or life concerns. So here we took the spiritual religious self-categorization. And interesting was that those patients which could not answer to this question or could not name their personal resource 70% of them were neither, would describe themselves as neither religious nor spiritual. And when we compare this to the faith religion, it was just 6%, and here 40 and 50, so it was significantly different, and yeah, it could be one influencing factor. But to find more or to have a better view of the situation, we compared to other social and health-related variables, and there we found no significant differences for age, the course of disease, the perceived health affection, the MS fatigue, and emotional state. So the patient from the health status were relatively similar in all these four categorizations. But in the no-resource group, we found more often male patients, a lower educational status, and a higher EDS score. That means they suffered more under MS. So these factors could be other influencing factors to not to be able to name their personal resource. Furthermore, we compared various life concerns. Interestingly, life satisfaction, conscious living, positive attitudes, there was no difference. But for the reappraisal, that means the possibility to give a positive interpretation to their disease, it's the same result as Arndt showed before, there was a significant difference, and those with no resource had a lower ability to give positive interpretation to their illness. For the spiritual practices, it's self-explanatory that religious practice and spiritual mind-body practice, there is a significant difference between patients who are to 70% non-religious, non-spiritual, or would describe themselves as that, and the patients who would say, I'm religious and I'm spiritual. But for existential practice and the ability to experience gratitude to all, that was interesting that there was a significant difference as well. And existential practice mean to have question about meaning in life or something like that. So the discussion is, maybe spirituality might be associated with a higher openness to reflect issues of meaning in life, because being able to state a specific resource has to do something with reflection and give a positive interpretation of illness as well. And the engagement in existential practice is also an attitude to reflect life. Other influencing factors for a possible explication of the category no resource, beneath or next to the non-religious, non-spiritual self-categorization, could be the lower educational level, the higher EDS score, and the male gender. But variance analysis we did showed that education and gender stood back behind spiritual and religiosity. That means this was the most important factor, influencing factor. The limitations of our study was the cross-sectional design, which does not allow any causal interpretations, and patients with rather moderate EDSS score, most had a normal daily life and may thus ignore their underlying disease, so we should repeat or make further researches with patients with high EDSS score. And we did not measure directly cognitive impairment, which goes along with MS in some cases, and so this could influence some outcomes of this study. The conclusions. Spirituality, religiosity as a resource for hope, inspiration, and orientation, as well as in self-categorization, might be of benefit for patients in every form, secular, skeptic, religious. And spirituality, religiosity as measured in the self-categorization was not significantly associated with measures of physical and mental health, like we saw it, the ADSS score, the mood state, life satisfaction, course of disease, perceived health, affection, fatigue, and most of adaptive coping strategies. All these, there weren't differences between the four groups. But spiritual and religious patients had a significant higher ability to reflect on their life and illness, the reappraisal. They could significantly more often state a specific resource and were more engaged in existential practice, and they experienced more often gratitude and awe. And all these ability to or the ability to reflect may be helpful to cope with diseases. And also the irreligious skeptics may have specific resources, and yet they are often unable to state them. So the consequences for healthcare professionals and healthcare system is that healthcare professionals and psychologists may be in charge to support patients recognizing reliable resources of hope and inspiration and to get access to these. It's not important to have the concrete resource. It's just important that they start to recognize or to reflect about their resources. And religious and irreligious patients may have specific unmet spiritual needs, and this requires further support which may go beyond the putative duties of healthcare professionals. And healthcare professionals should consider with chaplains, social workers, psychologists, and so on, how they could address and support this resource which is often ignored in a clinical setting. Thank you for your attention.
It's perfectly time too, so you have some time for questions. Feel free.
Thank you for the nice presentation and congratulations for your response rate, because that's really excellent.
Yes.
I was wondering, do you have any data on this? Well, these resources or outside the MS population? And the reason why I'm asking is 50% stating that they do not have resources, mm-hmm. That's an awful lot. And I was wondering, could that be caused by, well, having the disease MS, that sort of the resources are exhausted? Or do you think it's something general for the population? And then we really have a problem, I think.
So I think it's a little bit both. Because there are other researches which show that MS patients are less spiritual than, for example, cancer patients. And but nevertheless, it doesn't explain these 52%. So I think it's a mixture. And but what we did, we asked for other daily life activities. So we asked, what do you do concretely in your daily life? And that was interesting that there were no differences between the four groups. There were just a difference, for example, in writing down thoughts. This was more for patients which would describe themselves as spiritual or religious, and this is okay, we can follow, but for sports, music, and all this singing and all this, there was no difference. More questions?
It's a simple question, but why did it say only family and partners and not friends? I think this is important too in such a situation.
Yeah, we made the four categories, and most of them they wrote, for example, family and friends and so on. So there were no people who, or no patients who wrote just friends. So we don't have the category, but there were some people who had also friends and the family. But just we made the categories when there was a spiritual aspect. We had we introduced spirituality because there was a spiritual resource for them. But often they named two or three resources at the same time.
Some more questions. Finding gender differences in the system, like when they interpret or identify their own resources.
Again, I don't understand.
Did you find any gender differences?
Gender?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw that male patients more often couldn't name their personal resource. And that's why we made the variance analysis. So here. We said, okay, other possible explanation for the no resource could be the lower education level, the higher ESS score, and the male gender, because they were more often male. But then the variance analysis showed that the gender stood back behind spirituality. So spirituality was more important for this ability than the gender. More questions? Yeah.
Did the duration of the illness make a difference? The length of time the person had the diagnosis?
No, no. We had the inclusion criteria were the diagnosis of MS. Was the diagnosis of MS, and MS has to be for more than 2 years that you can say, okay, this is MS. So it starts, it's at the beginning from 2 years, so we didn't include patients with just 1 month suffering under MS. But then afterwards there was no difference.
Whether the diagnosis was 2 years, 6 years,
yeah,
or 10 years, it was identical.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there would be other literature regarding spiritual awakening over the duration of
I told you in the background that there is a study who shows that the spiritual, the person's spirituality is increasing with the time they have to cope with the disease. But in our results, we couldn't confirm this.
And some of the reviewers asked for this topic, and we were very clear, no.
Yes.
Despite of the literature, not in our study.
Yes.
So if there are no further questions, thank you, Anriki, and would like now to switch. So I would like to introduce Eline Wassermann. She is a psychiatrist for children and adolescents, work in the community hospital in Herdecke, in the IRAP. She has an interesting topic. What about spiritual needs of mothers of sick born or preterm children? Now it's yours.
The title is Psychosocial and Spiritual Needs of Mothers of Preterm and Sick Newborn Children. The background is that spirituality is a resource to cope with severe life events, illness, is often ignored in hospitals because it's regarded not as part of the normal work spectrum of doctors or nurses. According to Abraham Maslow, spirituality is part of the basic human needs, and also according to the WHO since 1995. We know that patients with chronic diseases have specific unmet needs, particularly inner peace needs, given generativity needs. Yet, we do not know much about spiritual needs of mothers with sick, newborn, and preterm children. The difference to other studies is that we investigate the mothers, which are not sick, but which belong to a sick child. The aim of the study is to identify and quantify unmet needs of mothers of sick, newborn, and preterms, to improve the support by the hospital staff. The method. We made an anonymous cross-sectionary survey, and we applied standardized questionnaires to mothers of preterm and sick newborn with a clinical stay of at least 3 days at the neonatologic intensive care unit of the communal hospital in Herdecke. We differentiated two groups of mothers, depending on whether their child was supposed to stay in the intensive care unit for less or more than a week. We included all mothers willing to participate in the study and excluded mothers with severe illness and psychiatric disease. There are many mothers with a sick newborn, but they are also on a somatic care unit, so they weren't included. As a sick newborn, we define children with a kind of illness referred to the ECD-10 classification, ranging from casual illnesses like hyperbilirubinemia to severe illnesses like chromosomal aberrations. As preterm, we define children born before the 37th pregnancy week. And we recruited them all in the communal hospital in Herdecke. I also used many questionnaires. I used the spiritual needs questionnaire developed by Ann Büssing, which consists of 25 items to quantify specific psychosocial and spiritual needs. It covers religious needs, existential needs, inner peace needs, needs for giving, generativity, and, as independent items, relational needs. And I use the ASTS, which is a brief version of a profile of mood state, and it covers 5 subscales, for example, affiliation, hopelessness, tiredness, anger, and positive mood. Then we used the Cohen's perceived stress scale, which measures how stressed a person has felt during the past couple of days. Then we used 2 numeric analog scales of self-perceived everyday life affection and self-perceived pressure and stress. Then we used the escape from illness scale, which measures depressive intention to escape from child's illness or the current situation. We used the brief multidimensional life satisfaction scale, which measures a person's general life satisfaction. It addresses intrinsic, social, external, and prospective questions and further items on the satisfaction with the child's help, satisfaction with the support by the hospital, and 2 items on satisfaction with social support. Spiritual well-being was measured by the FACIT, the Functional Assessment of Chronic Illness Therapy Well-being. It consists of 12 items and has 3 subscales, for example, meaning, peace, and faith. Schwarzer's General Life Efficiency Expectation Scale measures the expectation of how much a person thinks he or she can influence a situation by him or herself. And we collected social demographic data, including age, family status, level of education, religion, amount of nicotine, and alcohol consumption. Now I want to show you some interim results. We were planning to investigate about 120 mothers, and so far 65 mothers were investigated. Their average age was 32 plus minus 5 years. 66% were married and 34% were living with a partner as a de facto couple. So no one of them was really living alone. 72% have at least a high school education. 76% were Christians, 2% had other religious affiliation, and 22% had none. The child's expected hospital stay was short-term in 22 cases, meaning less than 1 week, long-term in 36 cases, meaning more than 1 week. Now I want to present you the 10 strongest needs among all 25 items of the spiritual needs questionnaire. The percentage refers to the whole sample of responding mothers. With 89% of highest relevance, what mothers need to feel connected with their family. 85% wanted to turn to someone in a loving attitude. 80% wanted to talk to others about their fears and worries. 53% stated that they had the need to dwell at a place of quietness and peace. 49% intended to find inner peace. 46% would like to get more support from their family. 42% wanted to solace someone. 39% had the need to pray for themselves. 35% had the need to be assured that their life is meaningful and valuable. And 35% felt the need to turn to a higher presence, for example, God. The spiritual needs. This diagram compares the spiritual needs of mothers with short-term and long-term hospital stay of their children. The lighter ones are the short-term, and the darker violet ones are the long-term. The individual items were combined to factors addressing religious needs, essential needs, inner peace needs, and giving generativity needs. The scores range from 0, meaning they don't have the need, to 3, indicating a very strong need for something. As you can see, inner peace needs were the strongest in both groups, followed by giving generativity needs, by religious needs, and existential needs were the least important needs. Although mothers with a long-term hospital stay of their children had somewhat higher need scores, these differences are not yet significant in this interim evaluation. We have to wait for the final data. The spiritual well-being is shown in this diagram, and it shows the mother's spiritual well-being with respect to the duration of the child's hospital stay. Cause 3 and 4 would indicate spiritual well-being with respect to the sub-dimension faith, meaning, and peace. As you can see, mother's spiritual well-being was highest for factors concerning meaning and peace, and lowest for the factor concerning faith. There were so far no significant differences with respect to the child's hospital stay. Mothers in both groups felt affected by their daily life concerns and felt under pressure. Nevertheless, they all had a high general life satisfaction. Both groups, it is mothers with longer or relatively short hospital stay of their children, did not significantly differ with respect to the above-mentioned variable. Which dimension of the aforementioned life satisfaction scale scored high and which scored low on the enrolled mothers? As can be seen, mothers were less satisfied with their own health situation, their abilities to cope with everyday life, and, of course, with their child's health situation. Nevertheless, they were highly satisfied with the support of their partner, their overall life, and their family life. Although the satisfaction with the support of the hospital team and with friendship was relatively high. It means particularly relational support was satisfying to the affected mothers. Now I would like to draw some preliminary conclusions based on the first data of this interim analysis. Mothers of sick, born, and premature children experience stress and daily life affections, yet they feel supported by the hospital team and their partner. Nevertheless, the data shown that these mothers do have unmet psychosocial and spiritual needs, primary relational and inner peace needs. The outlook, there is a clear demand that mothers of sick, born, and preterm children may require additional support to deal with the current situation of insecurity. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Nina.
If there are questions, feel free to ask her.
I just wondered whether you have any data for mothers of healthy children.
No way.
Whether you can compare whether this is higher than...
We had the idea that there is a difference between a short hospital stay and a not so severe illness and a long hospital stay. But now we found out that there isn't yet a significant difference. So we're planning to collect also data from mothers of healthy
children. So you are doing that?
We're planning to do that. And I'm working as a
psychiatrist.
And we're also planning to collect data from mothers of psychiatric ill children. So we're planning to have at least three groups.
Did you say why you set the cutoff of 1 week stay and more than 1 week stay at hospital? Did you say why? What was the cutoff just at 1 week?
Because there are a lot of children which just have a hyperbilirubinemia or didn't really breathe good enough after birth, and they are just 1 or 2 or 3 days in hospital, and children which are really preterm or really sick, they stay 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month, and so we decided that.
And the other point is, we had the cross-sectional point, we decided within one similar point, so we have to be sure we expect that they stay longer. Mm-hmm. So, because of anonymity, we can't wait for the final closing.
You have some data about acid esprit.
We don't have data yet. But in 2 years we will present also.
That's it.
Okay.
No significant difference.
Two subscales, though.
Yeah. The three subscales. Yeah. No, they decided to make three subscales.
Okay.
Further, the first time, the piece of meaning combined makes not really sense. So they separated it. Some more questions?
Yes, and in the group you said that you have 65 mothers?
Yeah.
But there were not 65 children? When I counted it, and the answer for the children.
Maybe some children are lost now.
26 and 36.
Yeah, there were 1 or 2 questioners we couldn't use. There was a man answering the mother's question now, and we couldn't use it. And yeah, problems like that.
Check it.
Children are only, I found a life and go. That was my question.
So what's not the reason, though?
Are there more questions?
If not, thanks a lot, Odina.
Thank you for the time.
So now we switch from Wittenberg to Munich. Juliet Nuskelam from the University of Munich, from the Professorship of Spindle Care, and will present on spindle needs now, not on children, not on mothers, but elderly living in retirement homes.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'm a doctoral student at the Ludwig Maximilian University in Munich, and I'm glad to be able to present you my results of the results of my study, which is a cooperation with the University of Wittenherdecke and Professor Bissing's supervision. Well, we know while the research on spiritual needs of chronic disease patients and cancer patients increases, there is limited knowledge about the spiritual and psychosocial needs among seniors living in residential and nursing homes. But evidence-based studies show that there is a great impact and outcome on their health outcomes, and there is a big importance of spirituality for patients and seniors at all. So specific aspects of spirituality can also be measured. So the aim of the study was to analyze the psychosocial and spiritual needs among seniors on the one hand, and the underlying connections with their life satisfaction, moods, and meaning in life on the other hand. We want also to gather knowledge to create a foundation for improving the situation in residential and nursing homes. So for that purpose, we used a cross-sectional anonymous survey. 112 seniors were recruited in 9 different nursing and residential homes in Bavaria, which is predominantly a Catholic area. As you can see on this table, most of the enrolled persons were women, and only 24% of them were men. Most of them were without or living alone, but had family access. And as I mentioned before, Bavaria is a Catholic area, so you can see 92% of the enrolled persons were Christians. And I questioned them, 51% of the persons were living in residential homes and 49% in residential nursing homes. Well, to measure psychosocial and spiritual needs, we use the spiritual needs questionnaire of Professor Arndt Büssing. This is a diagnostic instrument with, as Undine said, up to 29 items that I show you later on in the next slides. To analyze the religious trust, we use the so-called Spreuk scale. And if you wonder what is the Spreuk, that's just an acronym of the German translation of spiritual and religious attitudes in dealing with illness. This is it's a measure of intrinsic religiosity, deals with trust in spiritual guidance in life, the feeling to be connected with a higher source, and the conviction that the death is not the end. Life satisfaction was measured using the BMLSS score questionnaire. These items address intrinsic, social, external, prospective dimension of life satisfaction, and also satisfactions with abilities to manage daily life concerns. The SMILE questionnaire looks for the interviewee's interests about individual areas that provide meaning in their lives. The self-perceived impairment of daily life was measured by a visual analog scale. What is it? That can't be like that. Yes. So how about I'm so sorry, but this is... That's it, yeah. So, as I said before, the spiritual needs questionnaire differentiates four main factors. Religious needs, like praying for or with others. Existential needs, like reflecting on previous life or talking about the possibility of life after death. Inner peace needs, like finding inner peace or talked with somebody about fears and worries. And needs for giving and generativity, like solace someone actively or pass on life experiences to others. So how about the results in South Germany? It could be observed that religious needs, in which praying for oneself placed at first place, was the most powerful issue, followed by reflect previous life or participate at a religious ceremony. For example, the issues like talk about life after death, or listen to touching music, find inner peace, or receive more family support were of lower relevance. And, for example, dissolve open aspects in life, or dwell at a place of quietness and peace, or the issue to be forgiven scored lowest. So we found that religious needs, as I mentioned, scored highest, while all other needs were of lower relevance. And there were no significant differences between men and women. And also age and educational level had no significant influences on these results. Those without family access had more religious needs, but less existential and inner peace needs, and if you look carefully, also less giving, also less needs for giving and generativity. And this is quite an interesting slide because those living in residential nursing homes had less religious needs, but more existential and inner peace needs, and also more needs for giving and generativity. Concerning the self-care abilities, it was interesting to see that those who considered themselves as independent had more religious needs and more needs for giving and generativity, but less existential and inner peace needs. And this is quite interesting because these results clearly differ from a similar study among elderly in North Germany, which I show you later on the discussion. So let's have a look on the correlation. We can see that religious needs were not significantly associated with any other needs. Only existential needs were weakly associated with inner peace needs. And the BMLSS score was weakly negative associated with existential needs and inner peace needs, while, for example, daily life affection were positively associated only with existential needs. In respect to positive and negative mood states, there were no significant associations with positive mood or tiredness. Only grief and despair were weakly associated with existential needs and inner peace needs. We also do some regression analysis to find out which variables could have influenced the spiritual needs. And we can say that religious needs can be predicted best by religious trust, with an additional influence of meaning in life evaluation. Existential needs can be explained also with religious trust, albeit with weak predictive power. Inner peace needs can be explained best by grief. And with respect to giving and generativity, none of the included variables had a significant influence. So the variables which were recognized were the aforementioned variables like grief, despair, life satisfaction, religious trust, family access, or living facilities. So we have here the comparison with the data from Northern Germany. And you can see while religious needs in South Germany scored highest, it was on last place in North Germany. And if you have a look on the mean age and life satisfaction, you can see that although mean age and life satisfaction on both sides were quite the same, the results clearly differ from each other. The South German sample was relatively more independent concerning the self-care abilities and had lower educational level than the Northern sample, which are predominantly Protestants. And maybe these could be some of the reasons why religious needs scored highest in South Germany. Well, a limitation of this study is definitely the cross-sectional design, which doesn't allow a causal interpretation, so we need longitudinal studies to substantiate the findings of the study. And moreover, the data might not be representative for all elderly living in retirement homes because particularly men were underrepresented. And unfortunately, the strongly affected residents were excluded. And especially that would be quite interesting to find out what their needs are. Apparently, there are in fact regional differences. So we need also studies with elderly from different parts of Germany, and these are also in preparation. So as conclusion, it was of particular importance to see that low life satisfaction and negative mood states were related to residents' existential needs and needs for inner peace, while meaning in life satisfaction was associated with religious needs. So elderly from the South with a Catholic background do have strong religious needs, and especially in that case, spirituality may alleviate the isolation and loneliness at old age and may reduce the distress caused by the uncertainty of the future, including sickness and death. Well, according to the orientations of the World Health Organization, one aspect of palliative care is to relieve suffering caused by religious or spiritual problems. So we speak for more attentions of nurses, physicians, clinicians, chaplains and pastoral teams, social workers, to the individual spiritual needs of the residents. And when making decisions concerning the residents' health and privacy, to do it, please, with respect and dignity and sensitivity. Because we all, and especially those who are in permanent touch with the elderly population, must try to create a surrounding in which spirituality is welcome and cherished, and where spirituality serves as a constant shelter, easing the pain of an unknown future with the question, including the question, what happens after death? Thank you very much.
Okay. So, if you have questions, feel free to answer now the question.
Because very quickly, maybe I understood not very well,
yeah.
But comparing the Protestants and Catholics,
yes.
I thought I have seen
yeah.
that in the Protestants area, the score of living generativity
yes.
higher, extremely higher,
yes.
than in the Roman Catholic era.
That's right.
Is this right? Have you any explanation for it?
Well, as I said before, it could be the reason that in North Germany, the residents were had a high educational level. And maybe they see spirituality not as the first place, and they could be, because I didn't make the survey in Northern Germany, but I could have an explanation, because for them, I mean, being out of the situation of being ill, you know, if you give someone or lay someone actively, give something of your own, that makes you a little bit, I think, healthier, give you the impression that you are not the ill person or the old person. Maybe could be a link with their educational level. So they achieve something in their life, so they can give it to others still. And I think if maybe in our lives, poor people trust to God more. Could be maybe a reason. Can you explain? Yeah.
There could be one additional information of interest. Several of them in North Germany started to weep because they were never asked what is important to them. And several asked, I really would like to tell my children, my grandchildren, about my life, but no one cares. And it was so frustrating, and maybe this is a strong intention. We would like to be connected, and this is completely different in Bavaria. I'm sorry to talk about Bavaria, I'm not from Bavaria. The family contact is much stronger. It could be an explanation.
A new relation, the family.
I'm from Bavaria. Yeah.
When you're talking about scores, it's 0 to 3.
Yeah.
Would that be that 3 is the highest?
Yes, that's right.
And my question is, how do you evaluate it in generally? Because it seems all could be very low if you compare it to 3.
Several of the elderly now, again from northern parts, said these needs are not too strong. Let's talk about maybe wish, because I'm so old, I've reached so much in my life or so less in my life. It would be nice to have, but it's okay. So these needs are completely different as compared to patients with chronic diseases, mm-hmm. which are much higher, particularly patients with cancer. All these are completely reduced to very low scores.
That's a very difficult conclusion for a clinical practice.
Not only difficult, I see it very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it, yeah.
All peak events in life are gone. This is a sarcastic interpretation.
The conclusion of the slides, actually, last slide.
And the last slide, that one.
The more attention
is needed. I'm not sure.
Especially, I mean, especially in South Bavaria, because when I was, you know, asking the seniors, they all of them quite were, you know, believing strongly to God, when they get there what they want. Nursing homes, you've seen that in nursing homes, for example, they have less religious needs. That could be, for example, I asked there and they said they go to the chapel, they have churches, and they have the possibility to pray with the nurses also. There are social workers. And that's nice to see, because nursing homes, you say, I mean, you're at the end of life, and maybe they need religious, or they have the most religious needs, but that wasn't like that. Because they get that what they want there. So,
okay. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we're good at time.
Yes, very good time. So, thanks for coming. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
For asking.